Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, welcome to the fifth episode in our Keys to My Head series of 12 episodes. We're taking a listen and a closer look at each of the songs from the new album, which you can get almost anywhere right now, purchase or stream, anywhere you get your digital music. And the fifth song on the album is Answer to Pain. That is Pain, P-A-N-E, and no, that's not a misspelling. I'll talk more about that when we get to the other side of listening to Answer to Pain.
Some snowflakes fell. I imagine our air is cold as hell, but we're warm, real against the style. You read your book, you do your work. I let the sun light up your smirk. Can we brighten up that grin into a smile? Yeah. Oh, let me brighten up that grin to a smile. The answer to pain, it seems, is shutter out the world. Ever darkness only grows inside the blinds. When you find yourself in a jam, instead of glazing over, man, just tap, I'll open up. No, no, I don't mind. The answer to pain, it seems, is shut her out. tap, I'll open up, I don't mind. Yeah, just tap, I'll open up, I don't mind.
There we have it, Answer to Pain, a song that I have worried about being, one, misunderstood, and two, having the potential of being one of the darker songs on the album, although I don't see it as dark. It's addressing a dark subject, I think, perhaps, but anyway, we'll talk about my insecurity first. So, as we've talked about earlier in this series, this album, Keys to My Head, 8 of the songs on it were created by me during February of 2020 for FAUM, which is February Album Writing Month online community, and some a series of prompts that I received, some of which worked really, really well for me. This one was a prompt song written for FAUM. The very first song that we talked about on the album, which is If You Want to Make a Song, was a prompt song that by the same prompt as this one, which was to write from the perspective of an inanimate object. And of course, If You Want to Make a Song was written from the perspective of a guitar. This one I was working on trying to come up with another inanimate object that really spoke to me. And one day, this was prior to really the kind of the shutdown that happened, although the pandemic was already rolling in February of 2020. We hadn't quite yet shut down, wouldn't until the middle of March. So I was at my office and kind of this was running in the back of my head. And I have a small office, not a great big office, but it does have a window. My office is in Rapid City and it's in an area that I guess I would call an industrial park area. By that, I mean it's kind of on the outskirts of the main part of town, but it has a lot of industrial businesses, manufacturing and some things like that that are being built up out there. It's kind of been viewed as an area for creating some office space for various industries and things like that. So that's why my office is there. But my little window, which is a skinny paned window, tall, probably 5 feet tall, probably maybe 8 or 9 inches wide. So it's one of those kind of skinny, enough to let some light in, enough for you to look out. But I was looking at that, and I look at that window every once in a while when I'm, you know, working on some project that I'm for work or something, and I'm grappling for some inspiration or some light, some natural light, or seeing what the weather's doing outside briefly. And outside that window is a big field that hasn't been built on yet. You can see out at the edge of it, you know, there's a lot of construction and things going on in our area. But this field is wide open. And so it has this sense of being still somewhat natural, but the encroachment of all the building is bearing down, and you know there are some duplexes, there's a kind of a mega church that's close, and a number of other things that are being built. So you know it's more than just an industrial park. But I realized, and this has inspired me before in other songs on other albums, the perspective of a particular window. You know, we buy our picture frames to frame something, to say, this is important enough to put a frame around it so that you notice it. You look at it. You say, wow, there we go. That's the purpose of a picture frame. But a window frames something as well. And so I started noticing what that window was framing. And I decided, you know, what would that window be thinking about what it's framing? And then I realized that it's framing both directions, unlike a picture frame. It's also framing whatever's happening on the inside. It's framing me at my desk, at my work, as are all the windows in our lives. They're framing whatever it is we look out on, or whatever we choose not to look out on, by closing the blinds, pulling the shades, shuttering up the window. And it's framing us and our lives in that sense. Those decisions we make about our relationship to what's going on outside. And this became kind of extra interesting as we moved into pandemic and I was spending a lot more time kind of, you know, not out there, kind of in here a lot, looking out the window. So that's where this song got started. And so so my insecurity then is not about anything in the song. My insecurity is actually about something very simple. In FOM, what we do, there's this online community. You write your song and then you record it, which I was doing most of my recording just using an iPhone, just kind of a live little performance there. And then you post that and the lyrics. And so, and being an English teacher, I'm hyper-conscious of, I've never been a big one for grammar. I don't really care that much, but grammar's also never been a problem for me. I can remember the correct use of an apostrophe and things like that. Punctuation, sentence structure, that's never been a challenge for me. But what has always been a challenge for me, for whatever reason, is spelling. And so I have a little bit of insecurity about that. And so we have in this song, because it's about an inanimate object, which I'm not calling a window. In fact, I refuse to mention window anywhere in the song. And instead, I use the inanimate object of a pane. Of course, a pane of glass, a pane in a window, which is P-A-N-E. But that has the added benefit of being, of having that additional meaning, at least when you hear it. Maybe not when you see it, but when you hear it, of, is he talking about pain, P-A-I-N, or pain, P-A-N-E? If you just hear the song, I would think you would assume it's P-A-I-N, which certainly the song is about that. But when you see it written, it's P-A-N-E. And my insecurity was telling me people are just going to think I can't spell. They're not going to realize how, you know, brilliant that is. And of course, it's not that brilliant. But my concern is that the double meaning there was going to be lost. And people were just going to assume I was a dummy and I couldn't spell. Which I will say this, people who can't spell are not dummies. But that was my insecurity talking was, are they going to just think I can't spell? Unfortunately, it was kind of fed because I got a lot of feedback on a number of songs. I didn't get a lot of feedback on this one. And I like to think now that that's because they just didn't get it. It went past them. Because there's a whole lot going on in the song. And maybe that's good or maybe that's bad. I don't know. I've always been of the opinion that you don't write whatever it is you're writing. You don't write for the lowest common denominator. You don't write to be understood by the simplest person. You don't write to be understood by the at the most at the easiest level of understanding, at the shallowest end of the pool. That's not what you write for. Because if you limit yourself to that, and it's not bad to want to be understood by anyone and everyone. In fact, I'm writing a number of children's songs now, and I think about that quite a bit when I'm writing a children's song. But if that's the bar you set, then you limit yourself immensely in the complexity and depth of idea that you're getting at. And so you have to be comfortable with some percentage of folks not getting it. And that's where I've struggled with this particular song. Because I think there's a lot to get there. And I have been grappling with it, you know, ever since I wrote it and recorded it. And so we'll grapple with it a little bit right now and talk through some things. And maybe it'll be helpful. Maybe, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe those who really want to know, want to understand, they'll listen to a song and say, that's catchy. I kind of like that. I wonder what's really going on there. And maybe they listen to or read something about the writing of or the ideas behind the song, and then it opens the song up a little more. Maybe it'll do that for some of you. Or maybe most of you just already got it. You got it all. So you're just that great. So anyway, let's take a look at Answer to Pain, the lyrics. We'll talk through it and then talk just a little bit about the music itself. And I will mention this one more thing. It starts abruptly with the breaking of a window. And this song probably maybe is the one that convinced me I wanted to put a sound at the beginning of every song, partly because of my insecurity. I felt like the breaking of the window would help give everybody a clue that I didn't misspell pain. I spelled it the way I intended to. And then, of course, I felt like I needed to do that with all the others. But that being said, I'm glad I have a sound at the beginning of each of the songs on this album. I think it's a unique device that I may want to use again. So, Answer to Pain. I look out on an empty field, but I'm not so sure my fate is sealed. They are building all the time. Strip mall, industrial park, duplex. It's like a Noah's Ark replenishing the city. Two of every kind. Okay, so there's our first little segment in the song. And so our pane of glass, our window here. The first view is out. I look out on this empty field, but I'm not sure it's going to stay that way because there's all this building going on. And at the beginning, you know, when you first start writing a song, you're not sure what it might be about. I think as I was writing this, it might be about my disdain for the destruction of the natural environment for building purposes, though I am guilty of that myself because I have a house that's built in Spearfish Canyon. So, you know, like they say, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But I do have a distaste for overproducing buildings and that sort of construction and that sort of thing. So we get into that metaphor of Noah's Ark replenishing the city, two of every kind. It feels like we're trying to just justify our presence by just building tons of strip malls and duplexes, and then making of course making the duplexes too expensive for most people to afford, which is a challenge in our region. So we get in. Then we've been introduced to the pane of glass. Well, some say the eyes are me to the soul, but I'm not so sure they're big enough holes to welcome in near enough light. When someone chooses to pull the shades, the vision dies, the story fades, And who knew what would come with that morning light? This is where I really discovered what the song was about, I think. So we first get this really blatant hint at who the speaker is. Well, some say the eyes are me to the soul. That's the closest we get to saying window. The eyes are me to the soul, but I'm not so sure they're big enough holes. I'm not so sure the eyes are big enough holes to welcome in near enough light. How much darkness is in so many people? How much depression is in so many people? And what's the problem? How come they can't let the light in? Is it an eye problem? Of course it's not, but of course, metaphorically, maybe it is. Maybe it's the way we see the world, the way we don't see the world, the way we refuse to see the light. When someone chooses to pull the shades, the vision dies, the story fades. I left this a little bit ambiguous because when I came up with the phrase, when someone chooses to pull the shades, one of the things that I'm doing in the song, of course, is bringing in as many window words as possible. But pulling the shades is also, could also mean suicidal tendencies, suicidal ideologies, or carrying through with them. When someone chooses to pull the shades, the vision dies, the story fades. And who knew what would come with that morning light? And I got this vision of one, the depression, the sadness, the choosing to not see the light, the choosing to shut out the rest of the world because it's too painful. And then the extension of that, the choosing death over life. And then those who come into that room when morning has come to find a loved one who has taken his or her life, which is something that happens far more often than we realize. I know of someone. I know of a family for whom this happened just very recently. I don't know them personally, but I know them. I know of them. And it's difficult to even imagine. The vision dies, the story fades. Not only for the person who's committing the suicide, but for others. The vision of who this person is, the story of what of who we are together, of what we do, of where we're going together as a family, as a community, as loved ones, as, you know, whatever, as friends. So much dies when you choose to pull those shades, whether we're going to the extent of suicide or whether we're going just to the lesser extent of withdrawing from the world into one's own self. And we get to the chorus of the refrain. The answer to pain, it seems, is shutter out the world. But darkness only grows inside the blinds. When you find you're in a jam, instead of glazing over, man, just tap. I'll open up. I don't mind. So I was thinking about this window. And at first he looks out and he says, oh boy, I got this nice open field. I'm probably not going to have that forever. And then the window turns his attention toward this person inside who's wanting to pull the shades and shutter things out. And here's the pain. Here's the window saying, hey, open me up. Open it wide. Let the light in. I'm right here. I'll show you what's out here. I can be your doorway into the rest of the world. But when that person inside shutters out the world, chooses to shutter out the world, that darkness grows inside those blinds. But the window's offering, hey, all you gotta do, just tap. We can open up. We can open things up. I'm still here. Like a good friend, knowing a person is withdrawing, knowing a person is pulling back, pulling into him or herself, and saying, hey, you know what? I understand. But when you're ready, when you want to open up, just tap, I'm here. So it's a story about a window as friend. Window as friend. And so, once again, there are lots of words in here. And I literally, once I realized what I was doing, I pulled out, you know, I Googled windows and I looked at all the terminology connected with windows and was looking for words that would work nicely with double meanings and things like that and just fit. So answer to pain, of course, pain is there. Shutter out the world. Blinds, inside the blinds. When you find you're in a jam, and I spell that J-A-M-B, which is a part of a window, instead of glazing over, man, glazing, of course, a glazier is the one who fixes windows and glass, and glazing is the process of making windows. Just tap, I'll open up, I don't mind. I always think of windows. When I think of windows, I think of tapping, especially, you know, back when I was in college and I'd go to kind of talk to my wife before curfew. We had a curfew at our little small college. And I'd go tap on her window or when she was up higher I'd, you know, throw little pebbles, you know, the classic. So she'd look out. So that's what I was thinking about there. So we get into, we have a little instrumental section in there. And by the way, I'll mention, once again, I decided on all of these songs to have nylon stringed instruments as the fundamental instrument, which in this one it was a six string classical. But then I decided to bring in some steel strings on a mandolin. But try to keep it as mellow as possible, not super crisp, not super super treble. And you know, try to keep it fairly mellow. But the mandolin is kind of meandering all over the place, all throughout the song, kind of. Which I don't know. I kind of like that. It feels like another vocal. It feels like makes it feel like a conversation to me. But anyway, this last verse. Of course, the music kind of empties out a little bit, goes down to the bare bones again. This morning, I see some snowflakes fell. I imagine out there it's cold as hell. But we're warm, rail against the style. A couple of more terms, the rail against the style part, two more window terms. You read your book, you do your work. I let the sun light up your smirk. Can we brighten up that grin into a smile? Let me brighten up that grin into a smile. So here's the pane, the window, pleading to turn something. And I've thought a little bit about this. What's the difference between a smirk and a smile? A smirk, to me anyway, implies a jaded position, kind of not really a smile, not even happy at all, maybe mischievous, which can be kind of funny, but not necessarily a positive and open view, expression of my relationship with the world at all. But perhaps a very jaded view. And the window is saying, hey, let me brighten that smirk up to a smile. Let me bring some true, honest happiness or even joy in. And I feel like the window is always inviting us to that. I think when I first started teaching, I struggled with a lot of depression. I felt, from a day-to-day basis, I felt like I wasn't doing what was helpful to my students. I felt like if we weren't connecting, I felt like they were not happy about being there. I was teaching high school. And I felt, and I knew that I was miserable trying to do it. I had so many things I was excited about, but I just couldn't connect. I couldn't bring the sunshine, the sunlight into my classroom. My first classroom literally had no windows. But I was right by my outside door in the hallway was right by the outside door to the building. So there were some big glass doors, probably 20 feet to my right when I stood in front of my door in the hallway. And I could see outside and I could see the sunlight. And those big windows were constantly calling to me, trying to brighten up the best I could make, which might have been a smirk, trying to brighten that up to a smile. And so, you know, I think this relationship that we have with windows, they're trying as best as they can, maybe, to draw us into connection, to bring us light, to bring us sunshine, to bring us vision. And how do we respond to that? We can respond by accepting that invitation, throwing open the windows, letting the breeze blow in, or even just stepping on outside. Or we can shutter them up. We can pull the blinds, close curtains. So we get to the final part. The answer to pain, it seems, is shutter out the world. But darkness only grows inside the blind. When you find yourself in a jam, instead of glazing over, man, just tap, I'll open up. I don't mind. The answer to pain, it seems, is shutter out the world, but darkness only grows inside the blind. When you find you're in a jam, instead of glazing over, man, just tap, I'll open up. I don't mind. Just tap, I'll open up. I don't mind. You know, I think some people are like that too. Some people are like windows for us. They're always trying to bring us sunshine, always trying to bring us an open breeze. They're always trying to bring us something, an invitation into something enjoyable, into a vision of a fresh, wonderful world. Get us out of our mopiness. Out of the work we're slaving over, or the book we're sticking our nose in, which is not a bad thing, I'll say that. Books can be windows too, so don't misread that. That's why I think this is not a dark song. I think it has dark elements in it. I think it has the dark element of the potential of talking a little bit about suicide. Definitely talking about depression. But I think it has that invitation that the window, that the pain is giving us to look up, to look out, push open the window, give it a tap, and to join the rest of the world. So there we have it, answer to pain. So don't think I just can't spell, please. There's a lot more going on there than just me not being able to spell P-A-I-N. And you can get all my music, all my lyrics, links to stream or download or purchase everything at scottsimpsonmusic.org. I'll mention this because today, the day that I'm recording this, another single from my little band with myself and my wife has just come out. Our band, Nana Papa, has just come out with its second single, Evergreen, which is a song written in connection with a documentary film, important documentary film that I worked on for work, called Green Siblings Project. And you can check that out at greensiblingsproject.org and catch both for free, absolutely totally free, stream the full film, which is about an hour long. You can stream the music video there. You can download the song Evergreen by Nana Papa anywhere that you get your digital music, of course. And also on the website, we have an online social justice workshop that you could work through with some friends. It encourages some discussion, some engagement with some great, amazing interviews with some amazing people that we were able to do for that documentary film, The Green Siblings, Triopia, Ernest and Scott, and Robin White, who delivered the bit of wisdom that became the song Evergreen, which is, you must take care of the root for to heal the tree. A bit of Gullah Geechee wisdom from Queen Quet Goodwine of the Gullah Geechee Nation. So, lots of stuff to think about there. Good stuff. So, thank you for joining me for another episode. And I value being able to talk through these. I think I understand my songs a whole lot better once I talk through them with you. So that's a real gift that you have given me for being a listener. Stay tuned and be well.